Hi, good morning, everyone. I think we're about 15 minutes behind, so I will really just focus on the highlights from these slides so that there's a little bit of time for questions for all of the speakers at the end. And I am happy to share our instruments and more complete findings with you if you just send me an email or leave me your card. Okay? I'm Liz Schwarty with Samuels & Associates, and I'll be presenting today on very preliminary findings from a survey that we're conducting in California with local public health departments. No relationships to disclose. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on this research, our team at Samuels & Associates. George Flores at the California Endowment, TCE, is funding this research. And then also our colleague Bob Prentice at the Partnership for the Public's Health. So what is the purpose of this survey? This is a web-based survey that is actually still in the field currently. It's our phase two survey. We conducted a similar survey in 2007, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. And those findings from the original survey have already been published in the Journal of Public Health Management and Practice, and I'm happy to send you a copy of the article if that would be of interest. We wanted to repeat the survey several years later and to again look at how local public health departments in California are addressing obesity and chronic disease prevention through nutrition and physical activity environmental approaches, so an environmental and policy-based approach in California. What are the perspectives, barriers, and opportunities? We worked with a couple of the public health professional organizations in California to encourage participation in the survey, and also sent out a letter from our chronic disease director in California encouraging participation in the survey. And I think as a result of that, we're up to a 58% response rate. At phase one, we achieved a 62% response rate, so we're still trying to, you know, get the final 3% to respond, which I hope they will in the next couple of weeks. And currently we have 51 of California's 61 health departments represented in the survey. A look at the respondents to date, and this has been quite a shift since we did the survey initially in 2007. Most of our respondents have identified as other, which means they could be deputy directors in the health department, division or department directors rather, and other types of managers. So we're really looking to leadership within the health department in responding to the survey. At phase one, we had more public health department directors and health officers and nutrition directors responding to the survey. I think just, you know, from my initial read of the data that this points to a broader group of people in the health department who see themselves as responsible for obesity and chronic disease prevention than even 3 years ago. Just a couple of items on responses to date. We did use the Institute of Medicine strategies for governmental organizations and institutions for obesity prevention and modeled our questions on those. So we initially thought we would repeat the survey as conducted in phase one, but then realized that our own thinking about obesity prevention and chronic disease prevention had changed so much in the last 3 years that we only retained some elements of the phase one survey. And we've also learned from working with public health departments that their own activities in obesity and chronic disease prevention have changed over time. So again, we have you know, health departments, as they always have been, traditionally involved in monitoring health indicators. They have reported that they're very involved in collaborating with schools and other organizations on obesity and chronic disease prevention. And this is a newer role for public health departments that we've observed over time. And that they see themselves as facilitating collaborations in the areas of increasing access to healthy foods. Here's a photo from one of the public health departments in the Central Valley of California. And the public health departments in the Central Valley have actually been really involved in establishing these farmers markets either on their own grounds or serving as partners in developing them. Looking a little bit more at how local public health departments are engaged in nutrition and physical activity environments, again, we have a high level of engagement in working with schools in improving the nutrition environment. This was a surprise to us that 80% of respondents, and again, this is a subgroup, you know, it's not the full group of respondents, but only those that report that they're engaged in these activities, are working with small corner stores and to improve the access to fresh fruits and vegetables in these stores. And then also 81% of the 82 respondents said that they're working on increasing food access at farmers markets. Looking at physical activity, the activity that public health department leaders said they were most likely to be engaged in was work around safe routes to schools, and that they've also been involved in just creating physical environments that make it easier for community members to walk. This is a photo of the mayor of Los Angeles participating in a walk to school program. Now, we wanted to see how public health departments have started to change internally over time and how they address obesity and chronic disease prevention. About 45% currently have some sort of policy on the books that provides guidelines within the health department for foods sold, you know, foods at meetings and so on. And about 43% reported that they've reorganized in some way to address obesity and chronic disease prevention. So an example of that might be the creation of a chronic disease prevention division within the health department, which we know has happened increasingly in public health departments in California. And then we asked them, well, what do you attribute these changes to, you know, over the last few years? And many of them, or at least almost half of them, pointed to the very intentional activities that are underway in California to improve public health practice around obesity and chronic disease prevention. And those are offered by the professional organizations that I mentioned earlier. And then over half just spoke about the general momentum in the field for addressing these areas. We see that 67% of respondents state that there is somebody in the health department or, you know, an organizational unit that is taking the lead on obesity and chronic disease prevention. We have seen that there has been mostly a decrease in funding, however, for obesity and chronic disease prevention in health departments. So they're managing to make some of these changes in a difficult financial climate. Just a few statistics on whether their effort has increased. So 55%, there has been increased effort. But at the same time, 43% reported that they've lost staff. And this table just highlights some of the areas where public health departments feel that their capacity is excellent or good. And over time, I can report that this has really changed. You know, 3 years ago, they didn't report such high levels of capacity in these areas. But the areas of planning, transportation, community design, and so on, those tend to be areas where health departments report still needing to increase their capacity. A little bit more on policies. Here's a photo of a public health department employee taking the stairs, we hope. And some of the barriers that we, you know, traditionally are revealed in these surveys, staffing and lack of funding. So then to conclude, our key findings are that public health department in California are engaged in obesity and chronic disease prevention, that they experience a number of barriers around doing this type of work. That their staff capacity seems to have improved over time for addressing obesity and chronic disease prevention. And that in California, at least, technical assistance activities and a stronger focus in health departments on obesity and chronic disease prevention really are contributing to public health departments embracing this role for themselves. Our future analyses are going to be to stratify the data, look at the responses at a public health department level rather than an individual level, do some comparisons between phase 1 and phase 2, and also look at regional responses, so Southern California, Central Valley, and Northern California, where we have more rural health departments. Here's my contact information, and that concludes the presentation. Thank you so much for coming today.
you, Liz. Was there any questions for any of the presenters this morning? Anyone have any questions? Yes. Who's it for?
I was wondering if your current system, one currently connects to hospitals, particularly emergency departments, or is that part of the future? And then two, is it real time or is it all retrospective?
The answer to the first question, that's future, that's part of what we're working on. And again, the second question, that's what we're working on also, is we're going to make it real time. That's our goal.
I have two questions for you, Lisa.
Oh, okay.
My first question has to do with the templates that are used in the clinical encounter. The first part is, are those templates completed by the practitioner during the visit, so as they're talking with the patient or afterwards? And second, are any of the health centers using a template around obesity clinical best practices, so asking about, you know, measuring BMI, talking about prevention, access to physical activity, opportunities, and so on?
So regarding the template, the ones that are using them, they are integrated into the electronic health record. So the practitioners are completing the template as they see the patient. I mean, there can be times when people do their documentation kind of after a visit, so that could happen. And some of the information could also be entered by other staff. So, you know, a lot of times we think of, do you smoke, as kind of a vital sign. So that may be a medical assistant that's capturing that information. But to my knowledge, I don't think we have any template for obesity right now. BMI is, what happens is that in general, most patients are weighed at every appointment. For many practices, and you may all have different experiences, but we don't always measure the height for adults at every visit. Often, I know in my clinic, like for example, we ask them, how tall are you? And that will be entered. For children, it's much better, and their height usually is captured at every visit, or at least kind of the annual, you know, well child visits. I just wanted, if I could, respond to the real time question too, because in our system, I mean, what we're hoping to do, and I don't know that, you know, real time has a lot of definitions. So I think that, you know, the best that we would be hoping for is kind of nightly uploads of data. It wouldn't be information that, you know, entered in the electronic health record goes to the data warehouse immediately, but, you know, like a nightly upload of information. But depending on the purpose of data use, you know, monthly may be appropriate too. So those are cost things that really have to be weighed in. If you're doing clinical decision support, point of care, you may need it much more frequently than monthly. If you're doing a quality report, you know, monthly may be enough for some things. So, and we're also not exchanging with hospitals right now either, but also, you know, one of the things we would like to do is get claims data so that we can at least get information about hospital visits, ED visits, things that may, you know, that we may want to report on as outcomes or that the health centers may want to know about. So, yeah. Did I get your template question?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Yeah,
it's
interesting because it is a lot of work to kind of tailor the electronic health record like that, and yet, you know, it's there's a lot of give and take. I mean, you can't ask your providers to be clicking away all day.
Right.
On the other hand, this information is critical to them just as it is to us at the population level.
So but I guess the data you can collect can help you prioritize the templates. You know? So it can help you, based on your population, decide this is an issue of great concern for our population.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah.
I had a question about the California system. You mentioned that you saw some findings that inside the departments that they're starting to change how they operate the department itself with healthier food, dyslexia. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that. Just seeing a change over time and what you really, the highlights.
Sure. Some of the ways in the survey in which we are measuring a change in practice would be one through whether there is a unit, individual, you know, or some entity in the health department that is taking responsibility for obesity and chronic disease prevention. Second is whether they have a policy or not around nutrition and physical activity. There has not been, in terms of the policy, we have not yet seen an increase in whether they have that type of policy. We have seen a little bit of increase over time if there is a person or entity responsible for you know, chronic disease prevention and obesity prevention. And then I guess the third, you know, indicator would be whether there's been an increase in time in the engagement in the policy and environmental change activities. So are they more likely to be engaged in working with schools or after-school programs or you know, with community-based organizations, which would indicate to us a shift in practice away from, you know, the more traditional public health department activities to greater engagement with communities and other partners.
I was actually wondering, like, internally with staff, you know, are they changing out the type of food that they might have at staff meetings? Are they encouraging stuff like you have the picture walk up the stairs? Is that
something? Right. It's just really, because this is a web-based survey and we needed participants to be able to complete it in like 10 minutes, we don't delve very much into those particular practices, just do they have a policy or don't they have a policy. We are doing a lot of other research in California with public health departments that's more qualitative and includes interviews where we really have a lot more detail on that type of, those types of changes, and we'll be reporting that separately, but this is really more of a snapshot. Hope I answered your question.
We have time for about one more question. Anyone have anything? Okay. Well,
I don't want to trump anybody else's, but this is, I've really enjoyed all of the other presentations, even though they were so different. You know, I think I learned a lot from each of you because we all are interested in posing questions and answering them. And my question is for you, Ashley, and in our own work with supporting grantees to develop their evaluation and research capacity by involving them in our evaluations, the point at which we find it always becomes challenging for communities is around analysis, and that you know, they seem to have increased their skill in collecting data and even reporting data, but that there's always a step in between where you really need to hire an evaluator to do those types of analyses, or there's just a lot of confusion and fear around, you know, using database, having databases and using statistical analyses. Do you have any thoughts about that and whether any of that came up in your research?
Well, actually, I think that more of what we heard from the organizations was that they had trouble locating the data. And I don't know if it's just different people that we talked to or different types of organizations, but it seemed like locating the data and knowing how to interpret the data and how to understand the data were the areas that they were struggling with the most. And in terms of data analysis, that almost seemed more sophisticated than what we were discussing with the participants and trainers. And that didn't come.
Or even what data are available to begin with, right?
Yeah.
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 Thanks.
All right, well, thank you to the presenters. Thank you for attending. If you're traveling, have safe travels today. Have a great day.